Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
And this is your host, Amy Pettit, and my guest this morning is Mark from the Muskox Farm. We're chatting about Oktoberfest and some other things that we have going on. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm tired. How are you?
I'm tired.
It's the middle of the fair, and as you know, Alaska Farmland Trust has a booth at the fair, and I'm there a lot, and it's tiring. Yeah.
.org.
A lot of time. We get a Big great chance to interface radio. With everybody.
Yeah, I'm having lots of good interactions with folks. There was a land trust manager from Washington State that stopped by on, I think, day one of the fair, and we had a really nice chat about the hard work that we do. So it's great to be at the fair. It wears a person out a little bit.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Before we jump into what we want to talk about, another mention about the fair is Alaska Farmland Trust has a great raffle going on that it's pertinent that we mention it while you're here, right? We are raffling off 30 pounds of meat, and it's 10 pounds each of elk, bison, and muskox meat. But we want all our listeners to know that it is not muskox from the Muskox Farm.
They're more of a fiber animal than a little meat animal.
That's right. This is a friendly muskox that lived up on Lazy Mountain and didn't want to stay behind fences anymore. And so he had to have a new outlook on life. So just to be super clear, it's not muskox from the Muskox Farm.
That's looking out of the freezer.
Right. Yes. But raffle tickets are for sale, one for $10 or three for $25. You can only get them at the fair booth. So I encourage folks to stop by and see us. We are right outside the crops exhibit barn, right next to the Alaska Grown booth. And I'd love to have people stop by and buy a raffle ticket. It's a great fundraiser for us for a good cause, and a lot cheaper than hunting is how I've been describing it to folks, right?
Especially when it comes to getting a muskox.
Right. Okay, well, what do we want to talk about today, Mark? We got 30 minutes here to chat about things, and I know we have a big, exciting event coming up, so we can start with that, but there's a couple of other things that I thought we could chat about as well.
Hard not to talk about Oktoberfest for 30 minutes.
I know. Oktoberfest. I feel like most people that could or are listening to the show have probably heard about Oktoberfest, but we have some new and exciting stuff going on this year to tell them about, don't we?
We always have to rein ourselves in because the ideas flow very quickly and the execution maybe not so fast sometimes.
I have had so many people stop by the booth and they're like, frantically excited that Oktoberfest is coming up. And I'm like, yay.
I think if something like a third of the people who say they're coming to the event on Facebook actually do, then it'll be sold out like three times over.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Like 1,000 people have checked in as either interested or going, right?
Yeah.
But how many tickets have we sold?
That would have been clever to check. It's been a big rush in the last couple of days. I think we sold quite a few. As you know, the VIP tent sold out.
Yes.
New for 2017, and the VIP tickets were gone
very quickly.
A week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Super quick.
People are excited about this VIP offering, and you and I are behind the scenes going, what are we going to give them? Kidding. I'm kidding. The VIPs will be very well taken care of.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But no, there are still tickets available, but they are definitely starting to pick up speed. We're just like 5 weeks out now, I think.
Really?
Yeah. In 2 days or something.
Yeah. So it's October 7th, the first Saturday in October, and tickets are available through the Muskox Farm website or on brownpaperticket.com. You can just search for, we're the only Oktoberfest, right?
I think we're pretty easy to get to on Brown Paper Tickets.
Yeah. And just to remind listeners, tickets are $50, and that gets you in the door, all your delicious food. Entertainment.
Farm-to-table food?
Yeah, it's not just any old food, is it?
No, it's been the whole event, of course, centers around this great celebration of Alaska Grown and the cabbage and the sauerkraut, the potatoes and the German potato salad and the chips and
carrots,
the piggy and the bratwurst and the appetizers. It's really an incredible Alaska Grown celebration.
Yeah.
And beer.
All local beers, right? Which we've had interest from new brewers this year. That's exciting.
They're trying to get into our gig. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, we've got, let's see, I've got commitments from Arcos, Bleeding Heart, Bear Paw River. I just spoke with Denali yesterday, and they're very excited to get involved.
Yeah. We've had some communication with Glacier Brewhouse.
Glacier Brewhouse, the Alaskan brewery, has a new Musk Ox Milk Stout.
What?
And they're excited to be involved.
Nice, that, as they would.
That would be a fun one to bring on board.
Yeah.
That'd be new. And King Street is also kind of wanting to clamor into the, okay, the bash. So lots
and
of great brewers.
Double Shovel. We'll
Double
have some
Shovel.
Cider from Double Shovel. And then maybe we shouldn't mention this, but maybe some of our VIPs are listening. So we could mention that in the VIP tent, we're going to have the local cider, right?
Fresh pressed local apple cider.
Probably warm.
Mm.
Yeah. I hope you got your VIP ticket.
Yeah. Or maybe,
do we get to be in the VIP ticket?
We'll have to check in on it, I'm sure, from time to time, make sure everyone's doing okay.
Right. I do want to throw out there, because this happened yesterday at the fair booth, that we do have an opportunity for to get volunteers involved, right? If folks are interested in coming to Oktoberfest, but maybe that $50 ticket is a little bit out of their price range, we have a half price ticket available for folks that want to work a shift at Oktoberfest, help us set up the day before, help us take down the day after, things like that, right?
It's a pretty neat opportunity, really. I mean, it kind of allows people to, yeah, get a discounted ticket, but also get some ownership over the
event.
And,
yeah.
You know, get a little behind the scenes and help out. There's a lot of food going by. There's a lot of things that need to happen to
moving
pull it off.
Parts, yeah.
And we've been fortunate with volunteers in the past, but we're still looking to fill some slots for sure.
Yeah. Do we have that link on Brown Paper Ticket already, the volunteer ticket? Seems like Danny was talking about putting that on there, but I'm not sure it's live.
I'm not sure if it is live or not.
Okay.
If volunteers should probably most be encouraged just to either contact Amy or
one of us, yeah,
at Farmland Trust, or just get hold of us at the farm.
Yeah. Good. That happened. Yeah. I had some folks stop by and they saw the $50 price and they kind of balked. And I said, well, I said, are you interested in, you know, using your elbow grease to pay for half the ticket? Well, yeah. And I said, okay, good. So that's awesome. So October 7th, we did just go live with the t-shirts and the hoodies and the cups, right?
These are like the commemorative only purchase beforehand. You know, it is a fundraiser. We don't end up with a huge inventory of coulda, woulda, shoulda been hoodies and shirts. So if you're interested in any shirts or hoodies, grab them now. Oh, the cups. We will have cups at the event.
Yeah.
But also it's probably good to remind people that this will be the plastic-free event.
Right.
So if you've got a cup from last year, bring it. Or if you've got a pint.
Yep.
Not a 24-ounce or a 36-ounce, but a pint from another event, it's
That's
welcome.
That's a good point, yeah.
Or you can purchase the new one for this year. Of course, it's changed up to make it interesting and fun. And
yeah,
those are ordered and should be here in the next week or so.
Very good. Yeah. Stainless steel pints there. Have our groovy Oktoberfest logo on the front of them. And then we're thankful for our sponsors that have gotten involved so far. South Anchorage Farmers Market is our cup sponsor this year, right?
They are.
Yep. And then, we're getting some other sponsors involved. We need to nail those down. That makes me think, reminds me that I've got some bait in the water for a couple more sponsors, but they haven't set the hook yet. I need to get on that, huh?
That's true. You should get on that.
Yeah.
Or maybe we have someone listening right now that wants to elbow them out and just make it done.
Yeah. If you're interested or in being a sponsor or your business might want to be part of Oktoberfest, give Amy a call.
This will be 450 avid local food and drink aficionados.
It's the highlight of Palmer that night. Not to take away
South
from
Central Alaska.
Right.
Come on.
Not to take away from the other great events that are happening in Palmer that night that we won't mention specifically, but Oktoberfest is the place to be.
Indeed.
Yep. If you were just tuning in to Ag Matters Radio this morning, this is your host, Amy Pettit, and my guest this morning is Mark from the Muskox Farm. We're chatting about Oktoberfest and some other things that we have going on. Mark, it hasn't quite been 2 years then since we placed the easement on the Muskox Farm.
It was 1 year ago, day after tomorrow, I think it closed.
Okay, yeah, because it was during State Fair, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. How does that feel? We ought to celebrate that, too.
It is a great celebration. You know, there's a statewide, or actually a national, I think, conference on soils that's happening right now with NRCS. And so we've been hosting a lot of their kind of VIPs coming through that are part of this class. And it's just a fun thing to be able to share with them. And, you know, NCRS, of course, you know, sponsored to walk all this stuff through.
Yeah.
And working with them was a big process, but it's a big deal. And
so
getting it all figured out was really amazing. And it was a lot of work, but it was well worth the effort. And it's just, you know, one of my proudest accomplishments at the farm to be able to walk on that property and realize that no matter what our greatest successes or failures might be, that it'll always be an ag. It'll never be a condo. Ever. And that land is protected forever. And that's really exciting.
It feels good.
It feels very good.
You know, that this is totally new information to you, and it's unfair to throw that at you live on the radio, but I'm going to do it because it just came to mind. I had a classroom teacher contact me, and she would like to do a service project related to agriculture with, I believe, their second graders. They're either first or second graders. And she's actually from Mockitans, where they are the muskox,
right? Home of the muskox.
Yeah, Mockitans muskox. Anyways, she was talking about this, you know, wanting to do a service project, wondering if there was anything related to farmland trust that she could do. And I kind of threw it at Margaret because I'm just unfortunately not a very creative thinker. And I looked at Margaret and I said, how can we use 30 little elementary school sets of hands? Like, what could we possibly do? And then I said, you know, Margaret said, well, what about using them on one of your properties? Is there anything that you could do on one of your properties? And I thought, what if there's a weed, or like if we need to do like a weed pull or something on one of the properties, or, you know, a fence project or something? You know, obviously they're little kids, but anyways, I'm going to throw that at you first and say, is there something that we could do with a set of kids at the muskox farm kind of as a service project? So again, not fair to throw that to you live on the radio, but I just did.
Well, many hands makes fast, quick work.
Right.
We could bring them in for combing next year when the bulls are coming in for combing.
Yeah.
Or not, no. But no, no, certainly that was, you know, when we did the conservation easement, a lot of what happened was, you know, really just getting a real comprehensive view of the property. And and like most of Alaska, there are invasive weeds in certain places. And
there are.
That could be a really wonderful opportunity to get kids out and
teach them
what they are looking at and what the reason for, you know, what the ramifications are. So that could be really fun.
Would that be something that we'd want to try to pull off in the fall, like now, or in the spring when the weeds are just coming up? Or I'll have to think that through a little bit.
It's probably an ongoing project that could always happen, I'm sure.
Yeah. We can, but it would be fun.
It would be fun.
It would be fun to, I would love to engage the kids in that way. I'm thrilled that the teacher reached out to me and wants to do a service project related to agriculture. And if we can get them on one of our protected properties, and it makes sense because they're little Mockitans muskox.
It's a perfect fit.
Why don't we get them out on the muskox farm, right?
Excellent.
Okay, good. All right. We'll think that through more. You know, not that neither of us have anything on our plate that we're trying to accomplish in the next couple of weeks, but let's try and remember that one. Okay, good. So, yeah, let's talk more about Oktoberfest. So at that day, that night of the event, gates open at 4:30.
The gates open. The chutes will be open, so
we
won't be doing our regular tours for the event, but we will have viewing available, some kind of limited viewing for animals that are close up by the festival grounds.
Yeah.
Let's see, 4:30, then we have the beer garden.
Beer garden will be open right away.
4:30.
Right. Because I did have someone ask me that, well, what time should I show up? And I said, well, the gates open at 4:30. Well, what time's the food? And I said, 6, right?
Food starts at 6.
Hot food at 6.
Hot food will be happening at 6. Alaska Blaskapel.
Woohoo!
The preeminent 12-piece lederhosen clad Oompa Polka Band will be coming on at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And that is just, and the Polka Master. Now, I'm not done with this one yet, but we're working on a Polka Master because there's a little too much seat dancing going on.
Yeah.
And we need to get people to
Do we need a Polka Master? Is that something we want to throw out over the air? Or do you have one tracked down?
If you are a Polka Master and would like to participate in the 3rd annual Oktoberfest, please call today.
I haven't polka'd in a long time, and I think if we had a Polka Master at the event, it's just going to really add to it.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So that's at 7-ish, right?
7, the band should be on at 7, and we are going to have course, in the VIP tent, we're going to have a very limited live auction.
That's right.
Again, this year, we've got some great prizes that are coming in from the Alaska Railroad, some trips to head one trip up to Fairbanks. We've got a trip from Premier Alaska, who has donated one of their luxury cars for the train up to Denali and back.
Yep.
We've got flight seeing from K2 and from Talkeetna Air Taxi.
I had someone reach out to me yesterday and say that they have some vintage, like they've had some beer in storage, like some particular from a brewer down in California. I don't know. He was talking to me about these four bottles of old beer that's been aging particularly all this. And he's like, that would go over really well in your auction tent. And I was like, maybe. I don't
We'd
know.
We'd have to try it first, though. I mean, can you imagine if it wasn't good?
Right. Yeah. We wouldn't hate for people.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, spend their money on, bad beer. There's no such thing as bad beer, right? Live auction. What about the costume contest?
Oh my God.
People about the costume contest.
Costumes. So as you know, in the past, we've always had people that have shown up in their lederhosen and dressed for their part. But this year we're absolutely encouraging people to dress up because it's just fun.
More fun. Yeah. More fun.
And then to throw even the more funner at it, there of course will be the costume contest.
Yeah. Yes. And there will be prizes. We will have some sort of really incredible prize for whomever is deemed. Are we going to do like a male and female? Are we going to pick two winners? Or are we just going to have one winner, you think?
Goodness, these are details.
The details that we've got to get figured out. I think one of each, or a couple. Does it have to be a couple?
Maybe not yet. The night could be young when that happens.
This
Who knows?
Is very true. Very true. And I did have a local costume store. Little did I know that here in Palmer, there is actually a costume store, a business that's selling some pretty incredible costumes.
And they have a booth at the fair too, don't they?
They do have a booth at the fair. It's called Du Jour Fashion. I think that they're on the Purple Trail during the fair, but outside of the fair, they're just right down the road in the same building as Turkey Red and the Palmer Deli.
So if you don't have the creative juices to come up with the perfect lederhosen or Fraulein outfit, then
they've got you covered. I don't know what they have for the men. I didn't look through the men's costumes, but
imagine that.
Yeah. But they've got some great options for the ladies in town. So
wear your costumes.
We won't turn you away at the door if you're not in a costume. But
a little bit of mocking.
Yes, you might be mocked.
Yeah.
Yep, we might be frowned at. And really, big sigh. You could have tried harder.
Yeah, those beer tickets will cost more.
That's what we should do. You drink for less if you have a costume on. That would be not nice, but maybe next year. This year, we're plastic free. We're really proud of that, right? We won't be doing any red Solo cups, only those stainless steel pints. Maybe next year we are costume required.
Ooh, I like that.
We'll see how many people show up in costume, and that'll help us decide, I guess, this year. Yeah. What, there was something, I was just thinking something about that we haven't talked. We've talked about costumes. We've talked about food. We've talked about the VIP tent. There's something else that we're forgetting to mention about Oktoberfest. What is it?
20 kids from Makaton serving beer?
No.
Another event. Sorry.
Yeah, that we can't do that.
Right.
Oh, I can't think of what it is. It'll come to me and I'll remember. Music. We can't just have dead air on the radio.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah. What else? I wanted to ask. You talked about the chutes are going to be open and people can walk amongst the muskox, which not something they can do really anywhere else, right?
So, right. We're, of course, a working farm. And we're not set up, like a zoo or like AWCC where you just can wander. So we will have staff out there to provide lots of information and keep people, make sure everyone's behaving properly. But we will have good access to, the animals up front and be able to give people a chance. And we've set it up so you can grab a beer and go walk around the chutes, which is not something else you can normally do.
But, right. Will this year's batch of babies be visible?
They will be all of our little birds.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask too. What are their names? What are the babies this year?
So, we always have a theme for our babies. It kind of gives us a fun thing to work off of, but it also, and as years go by, it kind of helps identify what group they're from. So, our founder, of course, was a guy by the name of John Teal.
Okay.
And so that's we have a teal.
Is that a duck?
Yep.
Okay.
So Teal made it into the mix. Wren, who was actually the first gentleman that I met who was working at the farm, cousin of son of the founder, and his middle name was Wren. So Aaron Wren. So I got a Wren little nod to family in there too. And that was back in the kind of mid-90s.
Yeah.
And we have Eider and Osprey, and there's always in a group that
Teal, Wren, Eider, Osprey, and
the fifth one.
Is a boy or a girl?
They're all girls this year.
Oh, wow.
We bred five, we got five, and they're all girls.
That's kind of a good thing, right?
It's perfect. It's really good.
Yeah, when you're doing the kind of work that you guys are doing in terms of conservation and, you know, keeping the animals there on the farm. Females are good.
Domestication. Yeah, so it works really well, and they're certainly easy to deal with throughout their lifetime. We're, you know, we're always, everything is stress-free, gentle agriculture. And
yeah.
So we've been working with them 3 times a day, you know, for the last couple, you know, from the very beginning, we'd run them through the barn with their moms. And
yeah.
Now we're up to 3 times a day and spending lots of time with staff and interns to just really get socialized to people and be able to hang out on the farm and be hand combed and
right.
Have it just be stress-free.
Yeah. So one last reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio coming to you live Wednesday mornings from the Radio Free Palmer Studio in downtown Palmer. I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and in the studio with me this morning is Mark from the Muskox Farm, and we are talking about Oktoberfest and all the good things that happen at the farm. So I know, Mark, that one of your projects over the last year has been with new uses of your fiber, right? So do you want to talk about that and some of the new products that are available at the farm?
It's been really fun. You know, we've been, over the last 4 or 5 years, really taking more of the fiber that we're harvesting and utilizing it to support the nonprofit. And that's been really effective for us. In the last year, we've just started kind of launching a little bit new product line.
Yeah.
historically, because Kiviut is one of the rarest, most valuable fibers, the amount of yarn that's put into a garment is typically minimized to keep costs down. And so
sure.
It's always been a very open, lacy design, which is still
super, you know, warm.
Super warm, eight yeah. times warmer than wool. But we're working towards really establishing more of a technical outdoor line. There's so many people who are snow machining, who are mountaineering, who are skiing,
yeah.
and doing so many outdoor activities that can benefit from super lightweight natural fibers that stay dry, that wick away water, that are 8 times warmer.
Yeah.
And so really trying to, you know, give people an option that might not see that lacy noshock as the perfect under your helmet.
right. You know,
garment to keep
are you warm. Trying to access a new market,
we
Mark?
Are getting
some
a
of
new
these
market.
Manly men that
yes, absolutely.
Okay, so what do you have? What's and I guess we should point out that the gift shop will be open at Oktoberfest, right?
Gift shop will certainly be open yeah. at Oktoberfest, and we have so hats and noshocks are the two kind of front line for that. We are going to be getting in a new yarn blend this fall or winter, which will, you know, it's really hard blending. A lot of times when people are spending money on Kiviut, they really want it to be 100%. If you're a mill and you're spinning it, they're going to tell you that one plus one doesn't equal two. One plus one might equal 4 or 5 because you bring in properties from different fibers.
Okay.
It'll still be probably at least 70% Kiviut as we move into this new yarn, but it's going to give us some properties, going to allow for a whole lot of different things. We're actually looking at getting a bunch of woven fabric put together, which will give us opportunities that we've never had before.
Yeah.
And that's going to be super exciting. I think there's going to be some things coming out of that that no one's ever seen.
Yeah. Socks?
Are you guys secret stuff.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the socks would be a knit because you need the stretchiness in that.
Yeah.
And things for the Kiviut, you really do need it. In socks, you want to blend it pretty heavily because
sure.
the abrasion, it's a based on its size, it's a very, very strong fiber, but it's 12 microns in diameter. So anywhere where abrasion happens, like in a sock,
yeah,
you need to kind of bulk it up with some other fibers to help it endure.
Right. Was it a good fiber year at the Muskox Farm in terms of combing and the product that you're getting off the animals?
It was our best year, I think, in like 27 years.
Oh, wow.
And that comes from having, of course, a good-sized herd.
Yeah.
But I think more than anything, it really speaks to the tractability of the herd. We've been working so hard over the last...
It's probably because of the conservation easement, isn't
it? I'm sure.
It? Yeah.
The
animals just, they feel so much
right,
safer and more comfortable on the farm now that it's permanently protected.
Exactly. But so it's all gently hand-combed.
Yeah.
And if the animals are happy to hang out in a stall with someone being combed, then it gives us a chance to harvest, you know, every fiber. They're not losing out in the pastures.
Yeah.
And so our ability to just harvest the fiber has been really enhanced by just the super intensive work we do socializing
yeah.
the animals to people.
That's major kudos to you and your staff.
My staff is yeah. amazing. I'm so fortunate to have the people to work with that I do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So a good fiber year, good babies. Did you think of that fifth name yet? Danny's probably like kicking.
I'm sure.
She's really mad right now that you can't think of it.
But it is, I mean, the easement too. I mean, it really does. I mean, we've done so much work to the property with the easement, with, you know, new fencing that we're able to, you know, get animals on pasture and off pasture and allow it to recover. So the pastures are healthier than they've ever been. The herd's healthier than it's ever been.
Good.
And it's all just been a great spiral up.
Awesome. Normal business hours at the Muskox Farm?
We're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day throughout the summer. Mother's Day, of course, is our grand opening every year.
Yep.
And we kind of temper the close just because we don't know. As a nonprofit, we're always happy to welcome
host
people to the farm
year,
and break even. But when you get down to where it's not, but somewhere near the end of September, you can, anytime after the middle of September, please just give us a call. Make sure we're still there, and I'm sure we'll be there till probably close to the end of the year.
Yeah. And then Oktoberfest, obviously. So you said, you just said the hours, 10 to
10 to 6
daily.
Yep.
Muskoxfarm.org.
Every single day, muskoxfarm.org.
Okay. Yeah.
And boy, just tickets. Everyone knows out there, don't be the one that comes up to us 3 days after saying, I was going to buy my tickets.
Right. Yeah. No, get your Oktoberfest tickets. Join us at the farm. It's a very important fundraiser for both of our nonprofits. We sincerely appreciate all the people that join us there and are generous with their dollars. But we like that sellout factor too. I mean, that helps us.
It makes it fun. It makes it special. And
and
makes it hard to field all the phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
Please,
well,
just another ticket.
Yeah, please. Please, can you fit one more? No.
Nope.
No, we can't. Okay. All right, Mark. Well, I appreciate you spending this last half hour with me here on Ag Matters Radio this morning, talking about Oktoberfest and the cool things happening at the Muskox Farm. But our time is already up. So thank you for being here with me. And I look forward to all the folks that are going to join us at Oktoberfest in, you said, 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you there.
Thanks, Amy.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.